Well, let's take a hymnal, if you will, please, and we begin our service tonight with the singing of this very familiar Christmas carol, number 1018, which is Joy to the World. When you found that opening, would you please stand with me? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love. Let's pray. Our Father, our hearts are full tonight as we think about what the events of Christmas mean and what this season of the year commemorates. That in the fullness of time, after looking at man's condition and realizing that he couldn't do anything about it to help himself, your own arm brought you salvation. You came in the form of your Son, taking upon yourself, fashioning a human body, becoming man to dwell among us. God Almighty in the flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You became our champion. Far as the curse that sin brought on the earth was found, far as the curse was found, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord was proclaimed. And we rejoice tonight to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is King, Jesus is all in all. We come to your house tonight, Lord, to praise you and to thank you and to exalt you for what you have done on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, let this service of worship be a blessing to your heart. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now would you turn back just a few pages to 995. It came upon the midnight clear. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. Yet with the woes of sin and strife the world has suffered long, beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And men at war with men hear not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the whole heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their King, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
I'm reading from Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Again in Isaiah 9:2, 6, and 7. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from the old, from the everlasting. Malachi 3:1-3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye shall delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fueler's soap. For he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Isn't it amazing, all of those Old Testament prophecies, those are just a few that tell about the coming of the Lord Jesus. So many about his ministry in the Old Testament as well, but those special ones for tonight that foretell his arrival, his coming. And the last verse that Teresa read, give us an assurance that our worship is received in heaven. Hallelujah. Would you open your hymnals once again to 1002 and stand with me as we sing about the next phase of the story.
This reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Good evening. This is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus.
You know, I sit here on the platform this evening, and I see the very young children that are with us in the service tonight, the babies. And it occurs to me what really had happened on this night. That God himself, the Son, in the person of the Son, humbled himself, laid aside all of his glory, all of his divine might, everything that was his from the very beginning, laid it aside and came in the form and fashion of one of these little children who are here with us tonight. And I don't know how to express it exactly, except to say I have a fresh understanding of what it means. He humbled himself and came to us.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
sing the second verse as well. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. You may be seated. We humbly bow with the shepherds and the angels and the magi, we crown him Lord of all. Each Christmas season, especially for this Christmas Eve service, I ask the Lord to show me something about his coming that would be pertinent and different, new, fresh. Because the story is so familiar, and it's familiar even to the lost, but to those of us who know the Lord and who are saved and who are part of his family, the story is a part of our family history. And because I know that the Lord is, his nature is such that he has something always new, always fresh, I'm always bold to ask him. This year, he takes me to the passage from John chapter 8, verse number 12, where Jesus said to those crowds that were gathered around him, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. And we use that expression, we repeat that, we say about him, he's the light, we sing about the fact that he's the light, but the Lord showed me something that perhaps will not strike you in quite the same way as it did me, but it struck me in a new and fresh way this Christmas season. And I just want to share with you briefly about that tonight. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Let it be understood that this baby that was born in the stall in Bethlehem, Ephrata, in Judea, was, is, and always will be God. God Almighty. He is not a God, he is the God. He is the Son, the second person of the triune God. Everything God is, the Son is. I know there's a good deal of confusion about that, even within some of our churches. Jesus Christ is God. That is Orthodox Christianity. Anything else is apostasy. The same, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. In Him was life, and the life, that is, His life, God's life, was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now I think we all understand, we've heard since we were this tall, that God is omnipotent, that He's all-powerful. That he has all power, he can do anything that he decides to do. And we understand that Jesus is God, and so we know that Jesus is omnipotent, that he can do anything that he wants to do, that he chooses to do, that he says he will do. But this image of him being light, that his life is light, is a fascinating one. And throughout the Word of God, and particularly the passages that I've just read to you, light is contrasted with its archetype or its opposite, which is darkness. And have you ever noticed that where there's light, you cannot have darkness? And where there is darkness, you cannot have light. In other words, the two of them will not coexist. They cannot be in the same place at the same time. And this word that John used, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I never really looked at that word very carefully, and I've understood this word comprehended in the same way we would use it today in our common language, and to comprehend something means to understand it. But the word that is translated here in the Greek language, comprehended, does not mean to understand. It has nothing to do with understanding. The meaning of this word is to seize, or to possess, or to overtake, or to apprehend. And if you understand it in the original language, it reads like this: and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness was not able to overtake it. The darkness was not able to apprehend it. The darkness was not able to seize it and possess it. In other words, the darkness had no power against the light. When light encounters darkness, light always prevails. Darkness cannot win that battle. When you walk into a dark room, you flip a switch and the light comes on, and what happens to the darkness? It's gone. Instantly it is dissipated, it is defeated, and it's gone. The Bible tells us that love never fails. We understand that. That's a familiar passage from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails. But I'm understanding this Christmas season in a way I never understood before, that light never fails either. Light is all powerful. And when the Word of God calls Jesus the light of the world, it simply amplifies His almighty ability, His almighty power. Light has great power. Whenever light touches darkness, the darkness flees and the previous dark area becomes light. How did God deal with the darkness that was on the face of the earth in the very beginning? Genesis chapter 1 tells us that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. God didn't curse the darkness. He didn't reason with the darkness. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the darkness was gone. Now that is exactly how it is in the human soul. That's precisely what happens in the human spirit. Without Jesus, the human spirit is in darkness. And there's only one cure for that darkness. It's not religion. It's not theology. It's not reason. It's not education. It's not environment. It's not heritage. There's one cure for spiritual darkness, the same as there is only one cure for physical darkness, and that is light. And the life of Jesus, which is the light of the world, always defeats spiritual darkness in the hearts of men. Always prevails. Always wins when it encounters the darkness of the human heart. The cure is light, and Jesus is that light. And that is what all of this discussion in the Word of God about Him being the light, and that is really significant to us tonight as we approach our candle lighting service. Because in just a little bit, you'll see this room turn to complete darkness, or as complete as we can make it. Don't anybody be frightened about that, because we have lights to deal with that darkness. But it's our attempt to simulate what the Word of God is trying to tell us and trying to explain to us and was trying to explain to the world 750 years before Jesus was ever born. One of the ladies read tonight about the great darkness which was in the world, and the world in great darkness has seen a great light. And that light was the birth of the Lord Jesus.
Ephesians 5 and 8 says, "For ye were," talking to Christians, "ye were sometimes darkness." You used to be darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. I can testify to you tonight. I used to be darkness. But the light of the world has shined upon my heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "Ye are children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night, and we are not of darkness." 1 John 2:8, "The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." On our Wednesday night Bible study, of course, we are studying the book of Revelation, and we are approaching the last few verses of the book of Revelation, and part of what is being declared there in the 21st chapter is that in the new earth and in the heavenly city, when it comes down from heaven, the new Jerusalem, that there's no sun. And you think, my goodness, who would want to live on an earth where there was no sun? But the Bible tells us the city had no need of the sun, nor of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You say, "Pastor Vic, what does all of that mean?" I have to say to you, I don't understand what all of it means. I just speak what I do understand. And what I understand this Christmas season, in a way that I never quite understood before, was the power of light over darkness, physically as well as spiritually. And what I would encourage you to do, where I would encourage you tonight, is that if you sense a darkness in your own heart, this reminds me of I come from a family of five. I'm the oldest of five, and my four siblings that are younger than I am are all sisters. The oldest of those sisters, I was raised in a Christian home, and of course we all, you know, if you would have asked us, "What are you?" Well, we're Christians. But we were Christians like so many. We were Christians in name only. We were not Christians in heart. The Bible says the way you become a Christian is you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. You're not born a Christian of the flesh. You're born a Christian of the Spirit of God. And, you know, in the same way that somebody has said it this way, just because you live in a garage doesn't make you an automobile. Or just because you work at McDonald's doesn't make you a French fry. And just because you've been born in a home of Christians, that doesn't make you a Christian. You become a Christian by choice and by decision. And that happens when you decide to trust Jesus for the rest of your existence, this present life as well as the next. And the Word of God says, "To as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the authority, to become children of God, who were born of the Spirit, not of the flesh, nor of the will of man." I wasn't born again until I was 37 years old. But I thought I was the only one in my family who was in that condition. I didn't understand that we all were in that condition. We were nominal Christians. We'd never experienced the new birth. Didn't know what it was like. And I happened to be sharing with my sister and her husband. We knew that her husband was not born again, that he was in a lost condition. And we were just sharing our testimony with them, and my sister was taking all of this in. And I didn't realize what was happening there until a couple of weeks later I received a tape from her, cassette tape. And she said, you didn't realize what was happening, but when you were sharing with my husband, you were speaking directly to me. And she said she had given her heart to the Lord. And she said, I'll never forget this. She said, "Nobody knew how black my heart was. But praise God, now it's whiter than snow." And what she was referring to there was the darkness that's inside the spirit of the person who has not received the light of the world. And so I would just encourage you this evening that if that's your condition, remember that you don't turn on spiritual life at a wall switch. You turn it on in conversation with God Almighty. You ask Him to send His light into your heart, and the darkness will be dispelled. I've got to tell you that I wouldn't take anything, nothing, for my relationship with the Lord Jesus. The only regret I have is that I waited so long. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we praise You tonight and bless You and thank You and magnify You for the light of the world, because You had the only cure. And we bless You tonight that You were willing to send the cure. What a wonderful story, as the ladies were singing. Oh, wondrous story. King of glory. Born humbly, but now sits at the right hand of Your throne, waiting for the fullness of Your kingdom to be established. We thank You tonight for the wonderful gift of salvation. In the name of Jesus, we bless You. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Led by the light, a face serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by His cradle we stand. So led by light, a star was sweetly gleaming. Here came the wise men from Orient land. Oh, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. On your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh,
the night. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
As we go to the lighting of the candles, as we said, this darkened room represents the spiritual darkness of the world in the days before Jesus was born. Paul tells us in the fourth chapter of his letter to the Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And where he was, of course, there was light. The darkness is dissipated. But everywhere else is still dark. And then he called some disciples. He said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they came and they laid down everything, and they took of his light. And wherever they went, the darkness was defeated, dispelled. At the last, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, condemned. He said to those who followed him, ye are the light of the world. And to everyone that we share the gospel where it is received and believed, they become also a part of this light, and the darkness is pushed back.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord.
The darkness is more or less dissipated. But suppose every seat in this auditorium was filled. All of the darkness would be gone, would it not? Amen. And that's the commission that we have, is to take his gospel and declare it to anyone and everyone who will listen. And where that gospel is received and believed, the light of his life comes into that life. And more darkness is defeated and cast away. Would you stand with me, please? Hold your candles. The Word of God says, arise and shine, for your light has come. And that's what this night is all about. Were there never to have been a Bethlehem, never to have been a manger, never to have been the light of the world would yet be in darkness, and that includes you and me. And so that's why we're here tonight, isn't it? We've come just not to be in church. We've come because we want to celebrate and we want to thank our God for what he's done.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin
Father and Child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
We pray that this will be a wonderful, wonderful Christmas holiday for you. The thing that makes it most wonderful is not whether you get all the things you wanted, but that you have the most important gift ever given. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Praise the name of Jesus. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you lots and lots of Jesus. Amen. We're dismissed.